continuing their mini-camp in Seattle. Mike Sando, our good friend from the Tacoma News Tribune, joining us on the program today. And thanks for coming on the show, Mike. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Dennis?
Good. I was reading your blog the other day, and you said you apologized to your friends in Spokane because you were busy. We appreciate that shout-out on your blog there, Mike.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't you guys. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, we're the only guys. You guys. Listen, we're the only guys in town. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hey, is Sean Alexander's foot broken or not?
Well, no. I think you need some perspective on this one. You know, when Sean was injured last year, they did find a very small crack in the bone of his foot. It wasn't anything that was preventing him from walking. They were more afraid that if he didn't take some time off, it could be vulnerable to a full-out break. He took some time off. The crack was still there on all the tests, but they just determined it probably wasn't going to go away anytime soon necessarily, and that it wasn't a big threat for him in terms of developing into something worse. So they let him play, and he played the whole rest of the season. He had a 200-yard game against Green Bay. He had a 100-yard game against Chicago in the playoffs, and they knew all along that that crack was probably still there. So yesterday, several of us were talking to him about a range of things, and he was just asked about the foot and the crack. And remember, he's been practicing all week.
Right.
And so he basically said, heck, the crack could still be there. I mean, first of all, we know, but I'm not even going to have we won't even have an x-ray until after the camp. And so the implication to me was that the crack may or may not be there. If it is, it's not a big deal. He's been playing on it. It's not anything that would keep him from playing. He's not even concerned about it enough to have it x-rayed until sometime later when it's more convenient to him. He's being allowed to practice. Now, the reporters who were there basically handled it the way I did, except for the AP guy who wrote it in such a way that it made it sound like this could be significant. Boy, he could still have a broken foot. And people who aren't following this day-to-day and don't have the perspective then are wondering if they should cross him off their fantasy football plans. And while his injury last season may indicate that he's going to start breaking down as he hits age 30 here this summer, the specific foot injury that he had is not threatening him in any way right now.
It sounds, and I have not seen him, but it sounds like he is in a little bit better shape than he was a year ago.
Yeah, you know, he and his wife had their third daughter March 9th, and I think they made the decision, hey, let's just stay here in Seattle. We don't want to be shuttling our stuff back to, home for him, which means hanging out in Alabama and working out there. He's been under the supervision of the team. He's been lifting. He downplayed it and said, I'm pretty much, you know, the same as I always am, same approach. But then later in the interview, he kind of admitted that he's lifting a little bit more. And obviously, if the team strength coach is there watching you every day, it's different than if he's not. So I think that I have seen him in past mini camps where he was a little heavy, maybe around the middle, and then by the time he gets, you know, in the training camp and stuff, he's kind of old school that way. Then he works his way into shape. I think he's maybe to that point already, and maybe it's in the back of his mind that he did miss six games last year, and everyone will be watching to see if he's ready to bounce back.
Well, forget about football shape. If he's got three daughters at home, he's got to get himself in that kind of shape. Are you kidding me?
He is severely outnumbered. He admitted it. He said that he does still have voting interest in the household, but only because his wife allows him to have it. So he's learning what that's like to be the only man in a five-member family.
Mike, they sent the rookies home after Sunday's practice. What can they get out of 3 days at minicamp that's useful to them?
Well, I think they get some experience in the playbook and just some idea of the terminology. They get a feel for their coaches. They get a feel for what competition they may be up against at the position. And then on the flip side, maybe even more importantly, the Seahawks kind of find out, is this guy not what we thought he was? You know, they have a pretty good idea, but every once in a while, a guy will come into camp, and you really wonder, geez, maybe he isn't what we thought. But I think in the case of these guys who came in this time, they were particularly impressed with Josh Wilson, the second-round corner, and I think there's some thought that he'll challenge for a starting job.
Wow. Well, because everything I read as soon as he was picked was, you know, he's into the extra defensive back mode, will help us on special teams, but apparently he must have had an impressive 3 days in Kirkland.
Yeah, you know, and that's always the assumption with a rookie, and if you had to bet now, maybe you'd still say that even after seeing him, but I think I was kind of struck by what Mike Holmgren said after, like you said, only after 3 days. He said, you know, the quickness on this guy is special and impressive, and that he called him a playmaker, just so that he's on the ball a lot, which we did see. Now, you know, they didn't have the pads on.
Right.
What's a play like, you know, when he takes a couple of hits and he's got a Charlie horse and all the things that go along with having to succeed in the NFL. But just from a talent standpoint, I think they felt he validated what they thought. And, you know, while Kelly Jennings was a first-round pick last year, remember, he was 31st overall. It wasn't like he was a high first-round pick. It wasn't like he had just this great rookie season. I think that they're open to the idea that Josh Wilson could eventually be the starter, maybe sooner than we thought.
Two positions that I have questions, and maybe you can help clear it up, and a lot of people, is that they made a lot of changes. One is at the safety, both safety positions, and the other is it tight end. Are those in good hands, or are they still looking for a body when the next round of cuts come?
Well, they won't get that body because the way the league is set up now in free agency, teams can already make those June 1 cuts that save them a little bit in the short term under the salary cap. So you're not going to see a wave of free agents or a couple guys being released in June for the Seahawks to choose from. They're pretty much, they've got their roster. Now, they feel good about those two positions you mentioned. I think the jury's definitely out at the tight end spot. We're just taking their word for it at this point, that Mike Holmgren thinks Marcus Pollard, who's 35 years old, is going to catch 40 or 50 passes. That really hasn't been done. I mean, in the NFL, I guess Shannon Sharpe is who maybe was an exception, but for the most part, you get a tight end that old or any player that old, it's hard to produce, it's hard to stay healthy. So we'll see if they're right on that one. If they are, Marcus Pollard's a tremendous find because they got him at a low price. They got him after trying to get Daniel Graham in free agency. Mm-hmm. At the safety position, I think it's easier to look at what they've done and say, you know what, this is going to be an upgrade because Deion Grant has been a consistent player on a very good Jacksonville defense for 6 or 7 years. Brian Russell has been a starting safety in the NFL, once had 9 interceptions in a season. And even if Russell doesn't do what they think he can do in training camp, they've got Mike Green coming back from an injury. Michael Buller is still here. Jordan Babineau has been here. They have some depth there now. So I think the feeling is that position, I think you can say, is going to settle and be healthier than it was a year ago.
Mike, does the Newsom kid from Oregon State, the free agent tight end they signed after the draft, does he have a chance to make this team?
Yeah, I think he has a chance. You know, they'll keep 3 tight ends, and Marcus Pollard will be one of them, and Will Heller will be the other one, and then it's kind of up to Leonard Stevens, who the coaching staff likes very much. You know, Benny Joprue was like a former second-round pick that they just kind of took a look at. They still don't really know what they have. And then Joe Newton they bring in to throw into the mix, a guy who had a good college career but has some injury concerns. So he has a chance to get in there. I don't think he particularly, you know, made up a lot of ground in this first camp. He dropped a couple of passes, and he's going to have to prove himself over the course of a training camp and maybe make an impact in a preseason game or two before he gets that spot. But they have some hope for him because I think he's a guy who probably would have been drafted and maybe even, you know, earlier than the 6th or 7th round had he not had the injury situation that he had at Oregon State.
Yeah. You know, we talked about the foot injury or the lack thereof of Sean Alexander, but Matt Hasselbeck, I think, has been a story in the fact that he's come back faster than a lot of people thought. In fact, most people didn't think he would even be doing anything other than standing on the sidelines during this mini camp. He's actually out there throwing. Where is he as far as his rehab is on that left shoulder, the non-throwing shoulder?
He looks fine. You know, last year he was, not only that, he had the knee and the hand. So I think the key for, I think Matt is going to be fine health-wise to start a training camp and even maybe for these June camps. But the issue there is keeping him healthy, you know, and the line is not obviously what it was a couple of years ago, and he took a lot more sacks last season, and he doesn't play as well when he's not sure if his position's going to be there. That's the biggest concern with Matt. Can they keep people off of him and keep him healthy so he's comfortable? Because we've seen with Matt, not unlike a lot of quarterbacks, when he's comfortable, he's a very good player. When he's not, he's not as good of a player, and that's what they need to really, shore up the offensive line. They got to make sure Chris Spencer's healthy. It looks like he will not need surgery, at least in the short term, but he still has to overcome, some shoulder issues and prove that he's able to kind of anchor that middle. And if they can do that, I think then Matt can stay healthier. If they can't, we'll be looking at Seneca at some point along the way.
Well, that was my question with Chris Spencer. What his status was, but he will not need surgery now, so he'll be back sooner than they thought.
He went to seek a second opinion on the shoulder because it's not feeling well. So the fact they decide not to do surgery doesn't suddenly make the shoulder feel great and mean that he's ready to go. It just means that he's not gonna have another 6 month rehab or something where he's out until the middle of the season. It just means they're going to try to continue with this rehab, maybe change it up, and hope that he feels good enough to play at a high level. But it doesn't all of a sudden just mean that he's out of the woods.
Mike Sando from the Tacoma News Tribune joining us on the Dennis Patchen Show here on 700 ESPN, The Ticket. Mike, no chance they come back to Eastern Washington for training camp with the game canceled in China?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. My thought initially was that does this bring Cheney back into the mix? But I think they are well on the road to having camp here this year, and at this point it would be a huge upset. And I don't even know. Eastern may even have some things planned in its place. So
Right. Training
camp's going to be here, and that means that fans over there are going to have to do what the fans are doing over here this year, not watch training camp. It won't be open to anyone this first year. And then they do plan when the new facility opens in 2008. They do plan to have a limited seating capacity, maybe a couple thousand people who come out to have watch practice. They'll actually have some concessions and that sort of stuff set up. So that's
where
we're headed.
Well, Mike, because they're not allowing fans to watch training camp, will they open maybe do a couple of days where they'll let fans?
No, no parking. There's no room.
The problem isn't that they don't want fans to watch practice.
Right.
The problem is that, as Dennis said, their facility is in the middle of Kirkland, and there's just, I have trouble finding a parking spot now when I'm one of six reporters coming out to camp on top of the staff they already have. There just is not room. I mean, there isn't. And so they don't have room for 10 fans to come park.
And remember,
it's in the middle of a neighborhood. They already have deals worked out with the local leaders in Kirkland. How many days their bubble can be inflated because it blocks people's views of the water, and it's just not conducive to having a large number of people come to watch.
Mike, when they move into their new headquarters, what's going to happen to the land? Will they sell that, subdivided, build houses? Is that the eventual plan for that?
No, it goes back to Northwest College. I mean, they basically have been using that land and have been leasing that land, and I think they did a 20-year lease when they moved in there in '86. That was coming up, and I think they've worked it out so they'll be here this coming year. But after that the buildings and everything go back to Northwest College.
All right, Mike Sando from the Tacoma News Tribune. Mike, is there one position after minicamp we should be worried about as we go into the season right now?
I think the offensive line, clearly. That's what makes them go on offense, and that's what protects their defense too. Keeps them off the field if they're moving the ball. And Chris Spencer's shoulder should be a little bit of a concern. Chris Gray is 37 years old and actually missed a couple games last season, which is unusual for him. That is the area that if everybody's healthy, I think they're okay. But if Spencer's shoulders remain a problem and Chris Gray starts to hit that wall, the offense is not going to be what they want it to be.
Mike, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the nice weather. It's gorgeous over here. Hopefully it's the same over there as mini camp will continue through the week. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks much. Okay, we'll see you.
Thanks, Mike.